Morning!
Morning!
Welcome to the India Explained podcast, recorded in London and San Francisco. One take, unscripted, no rehearsal.
Hey, Banti. Greetings from San Francisco. What's up with you, man?
Yeah, everything's cool. I mean, London's going through a particular storm, so people are kind of hatched down. And it's a bit of a dull gray day with a lot of rain and fences blowing off and trees falling down. But other than that, it's okay.
Excellent stuff. Yeah, it's like pretty cold out here in San Francisco, but I'm actually enjoying it for a change, because I know it's global warming and stuff, but, you know, occasionally it's nice to get seasons. Anyway, I thought that one of the things we could talk about, something, you know, both you and I, we actually wound up sharing the same piece with each other because it was so funny. Some dude in Munirka in Delhi, you know, the Delhi's got these like elections going on. The people voted yesterday and there's a lot of like stress because everyone's very worried about the electronic voting machines being tampered with, etc. That's another story. We can talk about that. But the thing is, this is a college kid, and he's obviously someone who is part of, I think, not necessarily the Shaheen Bagh protests against the CA, but I think there's a kind of wave of consciousness among young people about an unhappiness with what the BJP stands for. So here's what the dude does. He locks his dad in, and because his dad is a BJP voter, so he locked his dad just so that his dad couldn't vote for the BJP. So first of all, this kid is a god. This kid is a hero. And what are your thoughts on this, man?
Well, see, my thought is obviously what this guy is doing is low-level booth capturing and vote tampering, right?
Yeah, at home.
At home. So what he's doing is taking what is being practiced in kind of an industrialized. I remember through the 70s and the 80s, and even in the 90s, election, like nefarious election practices, which would essentially prevent people from voting, right? Yeah. And there were long and hard battles fought about this to kind of give everybody the chance to vote. Yeah. And I think what this guy has done is he has learned that the best way to be democratic is make the arguments that you can, and then at the crudest level, prevent a guaranteed opposition vote from being cast. Now, the reason it's hilarious in its microcosm, but I think this type of behavior is practice. There is a more sophisticated lockdown of intended voting happening in many parts of the country, right? So I think on the surface, it's a fun thing that this guy has done, and you know, we can laugh about it. Do we wholeheartedly support this? Obviously, that's a funny one to endorse, because if you're stopping a person from casting his vote, that's not done. You know, in democracy, everybody's got the right to cast their vote. But the serious point is, let's segue into electoral malpractices in the country. And you mentioned electronic vote machines, and I think we should talk a little bit about it on the back of this guy locking his dad up. What are the political parties doing at the moment to stop? And this is widespread, huh? This is not just BJP. There are other parties also kind of locking voters out or inducing voters, right? That would be my opening remarks on this.
Okay, sorry. And you know, our sound quality is a little off to listeners. I mean, you know, it's really not in our hands. I know for a long time we've been promising we'd upgrade our equipment, but you know, we're two guys in our 40s juggling a lot of stuff, so we'll get to it, okay? So just bear with us. So sorry for that little interruption. So Banti, a couple of things. One is that I don't think the other parties, at least at this point of time, are doing the same kind of stuff that the BJP is doing. Now, what is the BJP doing? We don't know. But the thing is that in general, the BJP's had such an awful record over the last few years of tampering with generally institutions, subverting democracy, that people are genuinely terrified. One of the things they've done is they've rendered the Election Commission toothless, right? So if you look at the long historical cycle, the Election Commission was actually a body that had significant powers. Nobody knew of this till TN Session came along. But now the Election Commission has become a puppet of the BJP government. They didn't declare the voting percentage till, I believe, a few hours ago. And that's absolutely unprecedented. The other thing that's happening is that, you know, the BJP's allies are making these remarks saying that, hey, you know, in the evening, large numbers of, you know, people came out to vote for the BJP. So don't go by what the exit polls are saying. In the early part of the day, every exit poll gave the Aam Aadmi Party 55 seats and above. And this guy, he's absolutely awful. He's not even worthy of being called a journalist, named Sudhir Chaudhary. He spent some time in Tihar jail. because he was caught trying to extort someone, on threat of carrying out a sting against them. He went on this insane rant based on the exit polls, literally frothing at the mouth and barking at the people of Delhi for like not voting for the BJP. Now, on the back of all of this, suddenly the BJP is making these remarks. Amit Shah has made an ominous sounding remark that, you know, people in Delhi will be in shock on Feb 11th when the results are announced. A lot of people are very nervous. This may just be bluster, right? Every party, no matter what the election says, that we've done great, we don't go by the exit polls. The exit polls have got it right for the BJP the last time around by a remarkable degree of accuracy. But people are very, very worried because they don't know if, you know, the extent to which the election officials are compromised. If the top level of the election commission is compromised, it's quite possible that the lower levels are too. Are they going to switch machines out? And I'll just mention one last thing. The very good journalist, G. Sampath, he's actually, he replugged a piece he had written, I think, a few years ago, saying that why we need to get done with electronic voting machines and need to go back to paper ballots. One other thing, which is unconnected directly to what's happened now, the 2019 election results, you are supposed to maintain the VVPAT slips, right, for a year, right, in case anyone needs to audit them. What the Election Commission did, in violation of law, it destroyed those slips well before the year was over. So, you know, it's this general chaos that the BJP has been able to sow very effectively that I think has people very anxious.
I think you raise a couple of valid points. And I think obviously the guy locking up his dad, I think I will circle back to that moment where the guy locks up his dad. You know, obviously in the long run, who freed him, why he got freed, did he cast his votes? Those are pertinent questions to ask that guy and his family. And then what happens to the father-son relationship from here on is also another question that we will explore separately. Maybe there'll be another story some point to see that, you know, whether the father and son have reconciled or the reconciliation is pending till the election results are declared. Because, you know, obviously if BJP were to win, he will make up with his dad. If, it's just the power dynamics in that domestic setting will change. I think the serious point that you made is malpractices of the BJP government with electronic voting, fair record keeping, transparency of the election commission. Those are all things that concern us. And I think civil society as such has a responsibility to take every opportunity to flag it, because that's what you can do and raise it. Because at the end of the day, everybody's just got one vote, right? And the question is to try and to make everybody aware of the different ways in which people are fiddling the system. I think this Gujarati experiment that the nation faces at the moment, which is what I call it, is a time-stickered experiment. I do not see it as a forever and a forever number. I think we are in strange times and we are living through a Gujarati experiment. But India as a nation is bigger than a Gujarati experiment, and it will come out okay. And that's where that's my kind of last comment on this.
Yeah, so it's a good point you make. And I've also felt for a while that I think things are beginning to turn. I think things will get worse. I had, shared this thought with a number of people that I said, I think we've kind of reached a limit. Things will get worse in the short to medium term before they get better. The pendulum swinging, this will be a generational, perhaps a multi-generational fight. But there are ways in which India is rediscovering itself. On the way, there may be these road bumps. My worry, though, is that for Amit Shah and Modi, nothing matters as much as staying in power. And they will do anything to stay in power. So, you know, there is a worry people have that somehow the BJP is going to, manipulate things to get at least 40 plus seats on February 11th. And if the BJP controls even the apparatus by which you can, seek redress, then where do you go from here? So that, I think, is the larger question. So it's interesting because with you, long-term optimism, but short-term, I do have these concerns. I don't want to fall prey to, conspiracy theories and stuff. But if you look at the filth spread by this duo, it is truly alarming. But let's hope for the best. And by the best, I don't mean that I may want the Aam Aadmi Party to win, though I think it's a soft Hindutva party. It's the better alternative. For me, the more important thing, though, is that even if the BJP comes to power, democratic processes should be followed. That, I think, to me, is the more fundamental thing. So I hope that, the correct procedures are followed, democratic processes are followed, and the foundations of the Republic are strengthened rather than eviscerated. I know it may be too much to ask for, but that's my hope. These next few days as counting happens, and we'll see what happens by February 11th.
Okay, that was a great way to talk about the forthcoming Delhi elections, Rohit, that using that vignette to talk about it. Let's end it there and let's catch up soon. Chalo, take care. Right, bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Thank you so much for listening to us. Rohit and Bunty would like to sign off. Please stay tuned. Follow us on India Explained on Twitter. Keep listening. Thank you for all your support.